What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Mastery Podcast. We are at episode 110, and I am delighted to be joined by a great friend of mine, a colleague of mine, Lucas Sheehan. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks very much.
Now, guys, most of you think, oh, you know, you have podcast episode guests, you get a lot of exposure, hundreds and thousands of followers, and, you know, in some cases, podcast episodes are not necessarily as valuable because it's not necessarily somebody that can relate to you and what you do. And one of the most important things that I want to do with the Mastery Podcast is to introduce you to other professionals that are doing what you do, but not only doing what you do incredibly well. Because the most value that you can learn on a frequent basis is from what people are doing at the higher end of the industry, those that are achieving huge success. And I've known Lucas since 2011. I'm going to ask him in a second to just explain a little bit more about how we know each other. But I'm absolutely delighted because having known Lucas from 2011 to now, he's a hugely successful personal trainer working in the city of London, and he has got an incredible portfolio of transformations, body transformations. We've known each other for a long time, and I wanted to get Lucas on the podcast to talk to him specifically about his standards, what's allowed him to progress, what you can learn from somebody who's had incredible growth in the fitness industry. So Lucas, welcome to the podcast, and first and foremost, how do we know each other?
Well, thanks very much for having me. I super appreciate it. I didn't tell you this actually, but I was trying to scramble through my notes earlier because I knew I'd written it somewhere, but you're going to love this. I wrote in my 2018 goals, get on Mark Coles's podcast.
Amazing.
But definitely don't just ask him, because I knew if I just asked you, you'd say, yeah, we'll arrange it. But so I bumped into you the other day and you said, hey, mate, come on to the podcast. And I thought, there we go, tick it off, a year late, but it's fine.
And do you know what's funny? Like, I was just sat outside Westfield in Shepherd's Bush and I was on the phone to somebody, and it was funny, isn't it? Because they were playing Wimbledon outside at Shepherd's Bush. And both you and I, it was a lovely day, and I saw a look on your eyes, and there were big purple green bags on the floor. I looked at him and I thought, he's thinking about having a break. And I was actually thinking of doing the same thing. And then I looked at you and you're like, how are you doing? And we had a long chat, and we don't bump into each other a lot. The last time I saw you was at my wedding. We had a great day. And, you know, when we do get together, we are so much aligned. And that started quite a while ago.
Yeah, so I first met you in 2011. I came to do one of your internships that you ran out of your Newark gym, M10, which was, I think it was billed as a fat loss specialist. It was one day, wasn't it?
It was one day, yeah.
Which was the pivotal moment of my career, bar none. It was absolutely unbelievable. I remember it like it was yesterday. Drove up from London. It took me, you know, 2 or 3 hours to get up, stayed for the day and then left. And I remember that drive home just thinking, well, I've made it, you know, I know I've got the answers. I remember getting, so we went through kind of the systems of how you at the time had transformations, because I kind of looked up, I was always wanting to know who's the best personal trainer in the world, who's the best, you know, found Charles Poliquin, through Charles Poliquin found you. And I just wanted to learn from the best. Then when I saw you did internships, paid to come up for the day, the next day I got back, I started my very first transformations on my three good friends at the time.
Do you remember, and I hope you don't mind me interrupting just at this point.
Yeah, of course.
You said to me, what would it take? Did you say what would it take, or did I approach you? Remember, to actually work there. Did I approach you?
No, I approached you. You were looking for a new guy about 3 weeks after the internship.
Yes, yes.
And I applied. I sat there for a day staring at the email, just thinking, he's going to laugh me out of the room because I've just done an internship when I don't know anything. And he's going to say, yeah, no thanks. But I remember we had a conversation, and yeah, I just wanted to, I would have done anything. But I rem so those next 8 weeks, I remember I smashed my three friends trying to put them through this transformation, and actually got some pretty good results.
Oh, awesome.
Like thinking back, knowing kind of how I would have done things slightly differently now. I was actually super happy with them, and I came up to you and put them on your desk. And I remember you remember Sarah that you used to work with, just sat in the room. And I remember this look you gave her, and I thought, I think he thinks these are quite good. Because I thought you might have said, get back to London.
Well, I
You've
remember
learned
saying to
nothing.
you, if we're going to have an interview, make sure you've got some results to show me.
Yeah, well, that
And
was it. That's all you cared about.
I to this day, obviously hold credibility very, very high and being able to showcase your results very high. And I will always tell people that have an interview, I said, Lucas turned up, put three transformations in front of me and said, is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, I remember it well. And yeah, and so that was the so to give you some time perspective on this of how quickly it happened. The internship was September. We interviewed for a job in December
2011, wasn't it?
2011, and I started January 2012. And your only concern was because obviously I didn't know anybody up there. I'd never even heard of Newark, the place where it was. And it was kind of move out of my mum's house to a town where I didn't know anyone. But it was the best thing I ever did. Absolutely unbelievable. And then we worked together for a year, but it was intense. It's weird looking back. I don't know how you feel, but when I worked out the dates, I said, oh, it was a year. And I thought, that's not very long, but it was so intense. And we kind of lived in each other's pockets the whole time. It felt like a lot longer. And it was nice to get like a true bond with someone. And also, I mean, what a privileged position to be literally under your wing the whole time, and during the process of opening Nottingham, which was huge. So I just learned so much in a short space of time. It was an unbelievable year.
But do you know what was incredible, and I'll never forget this, like you worked tirelessly to get results. What was her name? William Stanley. What was her name?
Yeah, Katie.
Katie. And you worked hard. You got some amazing results, amazing transformations. You and I went through a transform. You did a photo shoot when you were there.
I remember.
Our own little attempted photo shoot. But it was the start of me bodybuilding. It was the start. You got lean, and then we opened up Nottingham. I did a lot together. Spent a lot of time together. I was growing. You were growing. We went off and did some personal development. I remember we went to see Eric Thomas together, and really was starting to push our personal development. We've got a lot in common, and the reason, guys, why I kind of wanted to ask Lucas to give some context to this was, I've been able and privileged to have Lucas up at M10 when we first opened Newark, and then when we had Newark's gym, and then to Nottingham's gym. I mean, Lucas, what was going through your mind to any trainer? I talk to trainers, like, if you've got to make a big decision, up sticks and move. Like, that was a pivotal point for you. That was something that you were leaving home, leaving everybody behind in pursuit of becoming better. What would your advice be to any trainer that's kind of knows that that's got to happen, but they're frightened of doing it?
I think it's the realization of what you're doing currently will always be there for you. So you kind of have nothing to lose. As long as you back yourself that you can get back to the position where you're in now. I think people think that they take big risks, but really there's not much risk. I don't see many risks in life. I feel like you can always get to the point where you are now. And so it was just so worth it. I mean, obviously it was worth it retrospectively, but at the time, I remember having a conversation with you. There was it, I didn't even think about it. I remember telling you I was sleeping in my car.
You did. I remember. You said, I'm not going to, it doesn't matter. I'll sleep in my car. I just want to come up and I want to get cracking. And I think one of the things is, Lucas, when, and I've been very, very privileged to work with and have, I always say this to anybody that works with M10, is you helped my brand grow. Without you, without every other coach that's been through M10, I wouldn't be here. Because you guys produce the results. You produce the results. When we got to Nottingham, you smashed out results. They were coming in thick and fast, and we were presenting a lot of results, and it helped M10 get on the map.
Well, it's very kind of you to say that.
I mean that, and to any coach that's been involved in M10, you know who I am, even the ones that are there now. M10's brand is where it's at because of the people involved in it, because that's what gets the exposure and the reputation. Now, the interesting thing that I noticed with you, and this goes on to today, you left M10, you moved on. I mean, you were working from away from home, and eventually, a woman got the better of you.
I do remember.
I did. I did.
Yeah,
You met
I remember.
Christina, and that was obviously a big deciding factor behind you considering moving back to London. Broke my heart, but you didn't care at the time.
I did. You don't know how long it took me to give that letter of resignation. God, it took me forever.
But moving forward, I mean, you've done some fantastic things now. You moved down, and Nick Mitchell messaged me and said, "Thank you for giving me a great coach." I remember, because you moved down and in a very short space of time. I mean, let's just look. The work that you did at M10, in a very short space of time, as soon as you arrived at UP as a trainer, you weren't just a normal trainer. You moved straight up to being a senior trainer, and then ended up. What ended up happening at UP?
Yeah, so I was at UP for I think it's about 4 years. I ended up being a mentor there and kind of helping out the juniors and trying to put together some sort of education structure with some of the guys there. Which, yeah, I love, but I got the job super easily because of the work that I think this is the one thing that stuck with me and I still think about today. Is that you need to build a portfolio of results. You need to be able to prove that you can do what you say. And you need to be able to give people their money's worth. And once you've built that, getting jobs anywhere or setting up businesses and being successful, it's kind of easy because this is the proof's in the pudding, right? You can show what you can do. So that's always been the key for me, and it always still is the key for me, is get results. Showcase that you can do what you say you can do, and the kind of the rest comes easy.
Now you look at a personal trainer. Let's get into the value of this episode, because this isn't about me and the support I gave you and where you moved to necessarily. But let's look at the value that we can bring to anybody else listening to the podcast. What you've just said is something that's really valuable. There's a lot of personal trainers that want to progress, but when it comes down to building that portfolio, don't put enough effort to build that portfolio. You've just said that the value that that portfolio of results to you, one, what does it mean to you? And two, to any personal trainer that's not putting enough time into building them, what would your advice be?
For me, I think the only goal I have for my career, and I guess for my life, if you want to get real deep, is to just have a body of work that you're proud of. Now that can look like, depending on what your job is, it can look like a bunch of things. But for me, it's if I'm going to call myself a transformation specialist, then it's having a seriously impressive body of work and one that you can look back on and think that was cool and I really did change some people's lives and get some great testimonials and some pictures and videos and it I like building that. For me, that's kind of my baby. And it changes over the years. The brand might change or the badge might change, but the principles don't. So it's that's kind of my everything. You can't speak for everyone, but I just know for me, the reason my business is successful now is for that reason that I've only that's you need a sole goal and you have to only care about that one thing. And for me, it's have a good reputation for doing what you say you can do.
And that reputation, I mean, I refer to you as a reputation-based coach, a referral-based coach. And the reason why I do this, and I know there are a lot of trainers in the fitness industry that are going for this short game, quick fix, crazy marketing strategies to try and make themselves well known, rather than spending a bit of time head down in the trenches, deciding what type of results they want to be known for, and building that portfolio. Now, you've gone from having some fantastic results at UP, and the most incredible thing, if you've got to this point of the podcast, the most incredible thing is Lucas is now charging a hefty hourly rate out of a pure gym in central London and is full. And I'm going to tell you at the end of the podcast his Instagram because you're going to need to go and see his results that he achieves. But you're achieving incredible results. And, you know, I wanted to speak to you because the value that we're going to be able to bring trainers is because as a referral and a reputation-based coach, your results are ticking, coming through thick and fast, week, you know, month after month after month. And the value I know you're going to be to trainers is that there's a set of standards that you have. There's a set of, I can see clearly when you take the photos, when you present your results, there's a thought process that you have from the moment that somebody comes to see you right the way through to knowing you're going to present those results. And you and I talked off the podcast about, you know, what it potentially takes for somebody to be able to get these level of results. You know, one of the things you talked about was communicating with your clients. Something I wanted to get into was, you know, and something you touched on, the very basics of service and standards yields incredible results with people. And I think a lot of people overcomplicate what's required to get results. So as a reputation based, i.e. people are now saying, Lucas, I want to work with you, as somebody that's getting referrals consistently, even out of a pure gym, what is it that makes you the coach that you are? What makes you different?
Well, I think just going back to that point of the your standards that you live by, I think with the personal training industry, a lot of the problems I see is with that customer service aspect. I think when you wear trainers and tracksuit bottoms and you stand in a gym, which is most people's leisure time, you can forget that this is a customer service business and the standards that you hold, if you're to charge so much money, should be of the same service that your client got when he was in the Ferrari garage at the weekend or in the two Michelin star restaurant at the weekend. I think the standards of professionalism are one thing that I recognized very quickly that needed to be of the highest order. And then that trickles down into, as you mentioned, like the way you take pictures, the way you frame things up, just having things in order, being organized and having systems that are repeatable. I just think it neatens things up and gives you a platform to be able to charge a higher rate, even without the hopeful level of results that you get. Does that make sense?
Yeah, completely. But how did you manage? You went from UP, you left UP, you wanted to go on your own. With these standards that had been embedded with you throughout your career and the standards of results you expected from your clients, I can't imagine everybody's charging what you're charging in UP and in Pure Gym. And by the way, guys, when I say full, Lucas is doing well over 35 sessions. When I say charging, he's well over £100 per hour. So this is a guy that is, you guys do the maths. We're not going to sit here and talk about income. You know, Lucas is doing very, very well. In a Pure Gym in central London, you went in and you were telling me, I mean, this is where we're going to get to the nuts and the bolts of the podcast. You're able to charge that amount of money. You're able to have somebody sit in front of you and look at your results and say, yes, I'm in. Right? Yeah. So all of these standards that you have, all of these inquiries and referrals, like how are you filling a diary in a pure gym, in a commercial gym?
I think the funny thing about the way that I started in the pure gym was the, obviously, when I left UP, they own all of your results. So it's not like I had the portfolio went to zero again. So I had to kind of start again.
So no matter how good you were, you had to start again.
Yeah, it didn't matter. Yeah, nobody knew me or cared about me. So you had to start again. So do you know what I did was, and this is what I did to get the job at M10. The system is so easy, I think, is I rung my best friend and said, I need you. You're going to get in the best shape of your life, but I need you to come to the gym 4 times a week and we're going to train. And I explained to him, look, I need one result. Once I get one result, it's going to get me one more client. That's going to get me two results. It's going to get me four more clients. That's going to, you know, and so on. So I'd sit around like I did pre my interview at M10 and train my friend for free. Get one result. I think there's so many people out there that just need to get that one result. Like they worry about people not paying this amount. They kind of want to charge too much for something they haven't done yet. And I still, when did I start? I think I started my business in 2017. was willing to work for free, and I'm talking 14-hour days training people. But I needed, because you have long-term clients still, but I needed that one transformation before and after picture. And that kind of set me off. I think that is the key to all success in having a transformation business, is having results. So yeah, that was the kind of the key. And then once you do that, for me, the system's easy. You get
What
a
is it? What is
transformation.
it?
Okay, you get a transformation. You put it on your Instagram, and then you get inquiries, and one of those turns into a real client. You then have to get another transformation, and you rinse and repeat. The number one way of getting clients is through word of mouth. It's you're already qualified for them. If their friend tells you that they're the best, that's it, you're in. With the pricing, it kind of came as just what the market charges, right? I mean, I think it's expensive. But when you see people paying £60 an hour for, I mean, just abysmal training, it kind of speaks, it works itself out. I think the old, you taught me the old Charles Poliquin style of structuring expensive personal training, which is to look at buying the result rather than the per session cost. That's never left me, and that never will. I think if you added up what people paid, £60 an hour for the 5 years of no results, or 36 sessions in 12 weeks, it's going to cost you a couple of grand. It works out cheaper. That system still works, and that system still sells. And I use that every single day.
And people want the best, right?
Hopefully, yeah.
No, but in this world, if somebody knows that somebody is better than somebody else, then they're all prepared to pay for them. And a lot of people will challenge the fact that a trainer next to you charges 60, but you charge 85, and it's like, I can't charge 85 because then there's a price war. And I'm like, there's not a price war when there's a clear differentiation between you and the £60 an hour trainer. Now, if you want to charge 85 and you're the same, what has somebody got to do to be a difference between a 60 and a £120 an hour trainer? What do you
Yeah,
think?
so I got asked this the other day because a trainer that's in Pure Gym said to me, "I want to increase my rate. What advice do you have?" So I thought it was a funny question. I said, "Well, what are you going to do differently from what you were doing?" And he said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well, you can't just go from 60 to 61 without offering anything more." So I think once you package up what the client gets, you kind of work backwards from there. You know how I'm so not into the whole business and marketing and scaling. Like, that's totally your bag, so not mine. But it just makes sense to me
But hold
for
on,
people to
you've
get.
scaled, bud. You've scaled. You've scaled. You've scaled your income. Like a lot of trainers, here's the thing. If a trainer could charge 60 and then over the course of 4 years went to £120 an hour, and that 60 was worth 60 grand a year, and then in 4 years they were earning £120,000 a year, that's scale. Now, most people see scale as income streams. One, two, three, four. Sitting on a beach, living La Vida Luca, right? Which we will kind of get to in a bit. But at the end of the day, a lot of trainers in the industry at the moment are getting to £40 an hour and going, right, that's me done. What's the next income stream? And I say, your next income stream is £60 an hour. Like, and I do struggle with this because I'm talking to you right now as somebody that has, I've gone from £30 an hour at LA Fitness in Newark. Well over £100, and that's literally for one-on-one stuff.
But you, when you're in demand, that's the next step, right? So, and I'm sure you teach this. Once you're full, and you have people still wanting and doing, and you know what it's like in London. I'll do anything. I'll pay anything. That's a natural step. You say, well, okay, well, I'm capped at 40. And I'm charging 115. Well, for anyone else who needs to take on it, it's got to go up. That seems quite basic. I just think that if you're going to increase your rates from a standing start, you need to be able to offer more to your clients.
Now you said to me a very interesting thing when we were off the podcast. You said every client, and I love this, every client should think that they're your only client. Now this refers back to our, we were talking about personal standards. And one of the good things about today's episode is, anybody listening, Lucas has impeccable standards. When we work together, I used to watch him, the way he'd communicate with his clients, the way he'd be on the gym floor with his clients. Even to this day, that's only increased. I can tell your mannerisms, I can see the results that you're on your page, I can see the quality of your content. But you put down here, and one of the personal standards, which was really interesting, every client should think you're that they are your only client. How did that come about? How did that come about?
So it was actually a conversation I was having with one of my friends, and we're kind of talking. You know what it's like when you work for yourself, and I know you've been there. You need people to bounce a few things off on your mind. Often we're kind of working on how you can. I think one thing that I've tried and do often is sit down and have a business meeting with myself, because it's just me in the business, and I write down how can I make things better. And we were kind of spitballing with one of my friends, and he said, one of his clients asked him, "Yeah, am I your only client?" And he said, "No, why?" I said, "Because you are in unwavering contact with me 24/7. I don't know how you have so much time to deal with anybody else." And I thought that's such an interesting thing, and that to me is what personal training should be. It's having the standards to, I mean, the basics: email them back, text them back, ring them, answer your phone. When you're going through a transformation, you need to be on call 24/7. I mean, don't like it, change jobs. It's an intensive period, and it takes over a lot of people's lives from time to time, and you need to be able to be there for them. And I just think having the standards, or the audacity to pay, to charge so much money, you better be ready when they call. And you better be willing to put the work in. You've got to match them halfway, because you ask a lot out of people. You ask them to change their whole lifestyle, their whole dietary habits, their whole workout routine. So you better be there for them,
And it is, it's doing, it's going above and beyond. I mean, at the end of the day, when I talk about Lucas doing transformations, we're talking abs, we're talking little waists, we're talking shoulders, we're talking a full-on transformation. As I always used to say, taking somebody to something that they never thought was actually physically possible. And therefore, that 12, 16, 20 weeks is incredibly important. Do you think trainers put enough work in to achieve something which is actually achievable, but it's down to potentially their lack of attention to the client?
So I always think that the transformation is down to how badly the trainer wants the transformation. Now, it's a strange one, right? Because you'll have people push straight back and say, "Well, you can't make somebody not do it if they don't want to do it." And I get that, but it's the mentality you need to have. If you go in thinking, "Oh, I've tried," but I think you always have to blame yourself. And the standards you hold should be everything is your fault. So if somebody doesn't follow their diet, you've not communicated it well. So you have to go back and tell them in a different language. Go through why. Don't go through, "You've messed up. I'm so angry." It's like, well, how did that happen? Let's figure out so it doesn't happen again. I think that the blaming yourself to me has been huge in not only learning from client to client, transformation to transformation, to try and refine what you do, but also just raising your personal standards to believing that every client is capable of a transformation. You just have to find the key to unlocking how they get their results. And once you get to the point where you, as you just said, make somebody go through something that they, or make somebody see something they never thought they'd ever see them on themselves, that is, I mean, forget the pictures. You look at someone's face when they see their pictures, and they, and you've had it before, I'm sure. When people break down, and I'm not just talking girls here, they break down because they always thought they were the fat bloke. That is like the best feeling in the world. It's unbelievable. So it's a big deal. And I think if it's a big deal for people, you should recognize it's a big deal. And you need to match that with your work ethic.
And with that, I love this. Do you think people people see it as a 40 quid an hour. It's another slot in the diary. I mean, I see every investment in me as a big deal. What you've just said is a big deal. I actually even spoke to somebody who booked on our mentorship only this morning, and I said, "Look, I really appreciate your investment, and I do. And I will do whatever I can, and my team will do whatever we can to ensure that your journey over the next 6 months is huge success." And you've got to reach out to us. We'll reach out to you. And as a personal training client, as you said, I want to be able to try and unlock the key that gives you the best return on your investment. What is it that you do differently that helps people to unlock that key? Because we know, 12, 16 weeks, not everybody's got the internal motivation and drive. And you said to me, emailing back, texting, communication, I mean, it must go back to this whole above and beyond thing. When somebody notices that you want it more than them, that keeps them on track, would you think?
Yeah, and it's accountable. I think once they realize that you take this seriously, they kind of wake up a bit. I think a lot of times it's and this is, like I say, everyone's got their own path, but it's not a bit of exercise to me. It's training. And if somebody says they want something, well, that's it. I don't really see it as you're £30 an hour, just kind of tick that box. Okay, I've done my workout, that's it. That's fine, but that would just bore me. And so I never really kind of pursued that part of the industry. So yeah, it just oh, I've lost what I'm saying. What was I saying?
But no, it's just not a part of the industry that,
Yeah,
you
sorry,
necessarily.
correct. Yeah, so yeah, for me it was always about that.
Now, you said something to me earlier, which I loved, because you and I have done a lot of personal development together, and talked a lot about stuff, and we've had those kind of a lot of those conversations that go beyond the house today, mate. We've talked about life a lot and the journey that we want to go on. And you said something to me really interestingly, and this what I love, because I did a podcast about the 5 a.m. crew the other day, and for many, many, many years, that 5 a.m. crew was my bag. And I still have a huge amount of respect for trainers that get up early, do the grind, achieve incredible results. And you get trainers that think, how long do I have to do this 5:34? How long do I have to get up for? How long do I have to work hard for? And you said something that was so valuable to me earlier, that a lot of trainers nowadays talk about this kind of champagne lifestyle, the fast cars, the big houses. And I truly believe it's all talk, because genuinely, if somebody wants that lifestyle, you only have to watch them coaching people to see that that's true. You like literally, I will look at a trainer that says to me, "Mark, I want to scale my business," and I go, "No, your social media doesn't look like it. The way that you're training people doesn't look like it." Now, that's not a problem to say you want it, but what's got to go hand in hand with the vision that you say you've got is the work ethic. And this is the thing you said on the platform at 5:30 in the morning. Every time you go on that gym floor, there's a mindset that you have. What is that?
Yeah, well, I just so with the early morning stuff, because I think you need to, this is back to kind of the high personal standards with the early mornings. I kind of feel like I get up early. I mean, you should as a trainer, just because that's normally when you eat, and by eat I mean train clients. If people are up earlier than me, I get mad because I think they're beating you, and you've got to be hard on yourself. And I think that kind of there's a lot of just from what I see, and you do have a. If people listen to your podcast, for me, they're miles ahead of the industry anyway, because it means they're seeking out, making themselves better in their career. So it might be the wrong audience, but I see the industry as the standards aren't very high. People running onto the gym floor late for their session, and nothing to do with me, but I still see it. And I just think that you need to be constantly hard on yourself if you want the lifestyle of the fast cars and the boats and the champagne, then it needs to be congruent with your work ethic. And when I see people outworking me. It annoys me, and it should get under your skin, and it should be something that you're conscious of, and constantly reminding yourself that you can level up to make yourself better. And like, that should be a non, that shouldn't stop. That should be a lifelong journey.
You there? That's all right. We just
Are
checked you there.
you
No,
there?
it's a
Oh,
lifelong
sorry,
journey.
I thought you were
And do you know what? That lifelong journey is a commitment because, from my perspective, I know that every single client, every single session that I did, every person that I work with now, every part of my day is one step closer to the reputation and opportunities that I want 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line. I was actually saying to a trainer today in the gym where I train in London, as he said, "I'm overwhelmed, I'm looking too far in the future." I said, "But look at the future. But love today, but love every part of getting up. Love every client that you come in." Most people just forget. They do the sessions and they just get by the sessions. They take their money and they forget that every minute of every training session, every hour of every day is a step forward to where you want to get to. And if it's delivered at a mediocre level, then you will achieve mediocre in 3 months' time. And that work ethic and that effort, I'm fascinated by this because you're still in the industry. And when I talk to you about clients and when I see your results, they're incredible. And therefore, you are delivering excellence at every opportunity. Like, you love training people. What keeps you inspired? What keeps you motivated? What keeps you driving forward? What's your motivator? There are trainers young in the industry listening to this podcast today, this episode. There are trainers who are 7, 8 years into their career and going, I'm just frustrated. So either end of the spectrum, what value are you going to be able to share with a trainer right now that doesn't have that internal fire? They want to be successful, but you seem to keep your fire lit every day.
I love it. I think, I don't know how, if you can teach the love. You tell me. I think I've always said results are my oxygen, but not only that. Because you can kind of chase these results. It's the texts that you get. For me, I've started sharing a few of them, and I should probably do a bit more. Just kind of screenshotting, just texts from your client saying, I put one on my Instagram the other day. Somebody said, somebody just called me Slim. I've never been called
I
Slim
saw that. I
before.
saw that. Yes.
And that, from the person that's from, is like, you cannot pay for this feeling. So I just love it. I just think this is amazing. I'm can be pretty deep at times. I'm into people. I like people, and I'm a sensitive guy. So that kind of stuff for me is just like, this is awesome. So I don't know how you teach the love for it, but for me, I found something that I was good at, because and I'm talking, let's go back to didn't go to university, C and D's at school, rubbish at everything. Once I found something I was good at, it was like, I am. All in on this, and I will be until my dying day, because I found something that makes me want to get out of bed in the morning.
Well,
So
Tony Robbins just says that this whole self-development world that we live in today, that's been exposed through social media, and the success that people are having simply by not being educated but finding a mentor in the thing that they love and becoming hugely successful because someone's given them a leg up into a world that they love, but they weren't studious or educated at school, and now they're hugely successful. Because we should be focusing so much of our efforts in finding what somebody truly loves.
Well, that's it. Then it's not, it's that whole find, what's that quote about when you'll never work a day in your life if you do what you love. I mean, it's a load of rubbish, we work so many hours, but it kind of, you kind of get it, right? You think, well, what else would I be doing today? I'd be going to the gym. It's funny, I said to my, I was speaking to a friend at lunch yesterday, and he sort of spoke about, when you're 40, when you're 50, you're still going to be PTing. I said, well, I'll be going to the gym, so I'll probably knock out a few sessions. Like, I'm there anyway. Hey, I enjoy it. It's a calling for me. I just think that it's what I do. And yeah, again, find what you love, and then the rest is easy.
So, do you know what's lovely about this? we could talk about biomechanics, we could talk about cells, we could talk about, anything, program design. And the Mastery Podcast, if you break down the episodes and how much personal development I've talked about, and how much personal standards I've talked about, and how much discipline I've talked about, and you'd actually look through the episodes, you'd look at the conversations that I've had with people on the podcast and gone, like, why am I not talking so much about biomechanics? Why am I not talking about diet and training? Well, interestingly, we've just done 2 days at the practical, at the M10 seminars. And I said to the guys, if you've taken inspiration from this to go away and just do a great job, you'll get better results.
Yeah.
Because 90% of what we know already is enough to get great results.
Yeah.
I mean, layering on our knowledge is essential. Being able to solve problems. But if a client notices you're not all in, and if you're turning up to the training sessions not all in, then do you believe that the client is at a disadvantage already?
Yeah, I think because that, and this is why I've been asked a few times, you know, about transformations and results and the six pack and the lower abs and the pecs. And it's like, look, I did RTS 6 years ago. I'm absolutely obsessed with exercise mechanics, and I love nutrition, and I think the diet stuff I do with my clients is very cool. But I never mention that when it comes to how do you get results. But, you know, how do you lose weight? You know, kind of deficit, fine. The details don't matter too much when you haven't got the basics of customer service. Of, do you know, one thing you said to me, and you said this on this internship, and you probably won't even remember you said this, but it's the number one thing that I think stuck with me. Is, you said, do you know that you could be the best part of someone's day? And I said, what are you talking about? The gym's the worst part of their day. And you said, no, this is, you need to think about this. You could be the best part of someone's day. And that for me is, if you're the best part of someone's day, they're going to come back. Trust me, they're going to come back. So you not then putting energy into somebody's session or being bothered to update their program or log into their MyFitnessPal or update their trackers or just send them a text on their birthday, whatever it is, that's just throwing away money. I think you're throwing away business when you can't be bothered to just be there for them the whole time. And I'm talking, forget about how much spinal flexion you need to go through and hip, you know, it's just get the basics right. And the basics right are just being there for your clients.
And you've talked about that at length, you know, communication, emailing, texting, being present. And I've noticed a lot of trainers aren't even present in the training sessions.
Yeah, well, I always say that when you go to your training session, so your personal one, when you're walking there, you've probably got headphones in, maybe a coffee, and you're thinking about your first set. You're thinking, right, what have I got to do? Okay, what did I lift last time? All right, okay, I'm thinking about it. And you get there and you are locked and loaded. You are ready to roll and then you have a great session. As a PT, you need to do that 9 times a day. Every single client that comes in, what I don't like to do ever is I will never finish a session and then take one step to the side into my next session. I always go away first. I'll just put my phone down a sec, whatever, you know, just take a second and think about the next session. Hey, who am I training? What's the session? Just read it through quickly. Just kind of make sure I'm switched on and present in for this next session rather than just rolling this conveyor belt kind of type thing. I think go into the next session like it's your own, because you're up for your own, because you love training. So you think you've had your pre-workout, you've got the tunes going, and you're thinking about the next lift. You're thinking about, can I beat last week's lift? And you need to do that 8 times a day.
So you select your state?
Every single time.
How do you go from... Do you have a little break between your clients or do you finish a little bit earlier?
So, you know, at best, it's you get a good break. But if you're back to back, you might get 3 minutes. But still, I go into my a trainer's room and I just take a second. Okay, that's that session done. Get rid of all those thoughts. Now think, right, who's in next? Okay, here we go. And then you're out the door and you're ready again. You know, it's not just rolling in the same energy, because what happens when you roll in with the same energy is session number four that you've done on the bounce, all you're thinking about is when am I going to eat?
And if you can get, and I never forget this myself, you know, and what we're trying to do on this episode of the podcast is, you know, you look at Lucas's results, you look at the consistent referrals that are coming in, and it's repeating the highest of standards over and over again. And the littlest thing, such as finishing the training session and selecting your state, is probably, if you've got to this point of the podcast, one of the most valuable things you could say. Because somebody then goes, okay, who is this person? What did they do last week? I.e., did they have they just come back from holiday? What am I going to start the conversation with? You don't want to be, what's up, mate? You want to go straight in with, so you've had your hair done, or you've been on holiday. Like, I know the weird little things, but I would literally stop and go, where did we last leave off? And if you're bad at it, I would even write that down in my diary. So when I just looked at what's next in the day, it would be a note saying, had children's sports day booked in.
100%.
You know what I mean?
That's it. Yeah. Did you win the race? That's what you mean. What? Father's race? You didn't get involved? Oh my God, you should have smashed it.
Well,
You know,
you
it's
remember
straight.
that? You remember that?
Yeah,
And then
they know as
suddenly,
well.
it's imprinted in their brain. You know, how did things go? As opposed to session to session to session. You know, and then rolling it through. You know, from kind of coming towards the end of where we're at, and I want would love to kind of get your take on this. What do you, just to give some inspiration and motivation to trainers that are listening to this, you know, you're incredibly skilled as a coach. You've got a great reputation. People are inquiring with you all the time. You are training people every single day. You do a long day. What is it that you love the most about personal training?
I think just seeing the transformation of people. This is not about somebody looking different. I've gone down and I'm continually kind of trying to explore what that kind of means of the whole look thing, and you know where I kind of sit with that. But the transformation of people as a person, they carry themselves differently, they speak of themselves differently, they think of themselves differently. I find that addictive. And then the never-ending quest of refining and perfecting what you can deliver is great. That's science, right? Science is always evolving. So it's never, well, I think when you start out, all you want to know is the system. What's the system then, Mark? And you say, well, you do this, you do these for three, then you do this for four, and they eat this many calories, and that's it. And that's the same for everyone. But it's not with personal training. Obviously, it's every single rep they do and everything they eat is different for everybody. And so it should be. So it's forever changing. It's interesting. I like the sciences. But for me, the look on some people's faces you get to see, and the stories you get to hear, and the people you get to meet, I'm a people's person. I wouldn't do any other job in the world.
And do you think, therefore, and there's a lot of trainers I know that don't put anywhere, they say, I entered this industry because I want to change lives. Is £6 changing someone's life?
No.
I disagree. If you want to change lives, you've got to help them significantly overcome some barrier that's in their life of stopping them from being healthy, happy in themselves. And when they come to see you and say, Lucas, I'm not happy with my body, helping them lose 6 pounds, then losing your motivation, and then struggling to help them to lose another 6 pounds keeps them.
Six. I thought you meant £6 in money.
No, I mean just
Yeah,
6 pounds, and then
I'm
they
an
go
idiot.
back, they put the weight back on, and
You're American now. Okay, I get it. All right. So yeah, half a stone. Yeah, of course.
Are you still stone?
It's half a stone.
7 pounds.
I got it. Don't worry.
No,
I'm in
but
a phone booth.
the point that I'm trying to make you is the
Yeah,
fact
totally get it.
that personal trainers say, like, I will ask a trainer very frequently, why are you in the fitness industry? To change lives. Now, if you go into a gym to just give somebody a workout, that's not a changing anyone's life. That's providing them an additional, they might as well go on for a walk around a park, because if they're not changing physically or mentally, it's not impacting their life or from a health perspective. So our job every hour of every day when we're training people is to make an impact so that it makes a difference to their life. And when you analyze what that is, you've got to go all in on the effort, the personal standards, the professionalism, the customer service to give that person every opportunity to be a better version of themselves.
Totally agree. I love that.
And I think that this this, if we can kind of leave something on this, you know, when you look at your transformations, and this is why not all of your transformations are 12 weeks, right?
Oh, I got that.
Right. And a lot of trainers will think, oh, 12-week transformations. If someone can do a 12-week transformation, great. I was talking about this yesterday. If somebody's going to be 20 weeks, it's going to be 20 weeks. The whole idea of that transformation, I mean, what are you noticing from someone that does a transformation? What changes about them, their life, everything? What changes do you notice?
I think it's about control. I think that's the main thing that people, I think we do have a lot of, and it's becoming more and more prominent in the world and more spoken about, as a lot of mental health issues, I think, come from a lack of control. Whether this is, and this can start with something so simple of just control over your health, control over your diet, control over your exercise regime. I think that's the kind of biggest thing you can give somebody, is they kind of feel like they've got something under control. And once they have that, that can kind of leak into, you'll see this. You know, I know one of your favorite quotes is, "The way you do one thing is the way you do everything." You see things start going well at work, things start going well at home, things, you know, it really leaks into other aspects of their life. And I think that's huge. I'm sure you see the same thing.
Well, because at the end of the day, right, if they're doing stuff average every day, their life's pretty average. But in order for somebody to, exp no one's going to really move to pretend the idea that life can be different unless they experience a bit of what life's, how life's different. Like if you've got somebody that's never been to a 5-star hotel, they would never know what that experience is like. And
Right.
if someone hasn't experienced the opportunity to lose more than 6 pounds, then as a personal trainer, you're doing them a disservice because it might take 10 pound weight loss for them to go, I never thought I could do that, but they've always done 6 pounds. Which basically means you've got to level up as a coach to give them every opportunity they've got of potentially doing a lot more.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that you notice of people is, or what you deal with day to day, especially with these new clients, is their limiting beliefs. And I think in that consultation you have at the beginning of a journey of a client is so key to kind of figure out what they think of themselves and what they can do and what they have been. And lots of times you hear that from people that they say, "I can get to this number, but my body won't get below it." And that's a belief they have. So once they get to that number, then they start self-sabotaging to not go beneath that number. And if you're as a coach can take them beyond that, then they're yours. You know, they buy into you, and once somebody buys into you, then they're a client for life.
Right, and that is such an important point. When you have, there's going to be a list, and I'd love us to talk about this in future. But there's a list that to get a client to buy into you, essentially you've got to care. Essentially, you've got to communicate. They've got to have. They've got to see that you are able to get them to where they think they couldn't get to the point where you are invaluable. And if you've helped the majority of your client portfolio do something that they never ever thought was possible, then they will tell all of their friends.
That's it.
And
That's the game.
it's like you almost have to write a book to say this is, well, not a book, a formula to give people, and they're looking for this massive formula. But if you could take a client to the point where they feel compelled, I mean, you and I have been to lovely restaurants. I'm sure everybody listening to this podcast episode has been to many, many lovely restaurants. But if you go to an amazing restaurant, the first thing you do when you bump into your mates is go, fellas, because they did something extraordinary. But if you went to Kentucky for a burger, you wouldn't mention it to anyone. In fact, you'd be embarrassed.
That's the trade trick. You paid for that, you know.
Yeah, but
And it's
so
that same
I
thing.
mean, this is amazing, guys. Like Lucas and I mean, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on, bud. And you know, there are times when I, you know, have guests on the podcast where the sole purpose is to introduce you to somebody that's doing something bloody well, to someone that's built a very successful business, that's worked with some of the best education training providers in the world, that does something that most people don't do. Does the basics extremely well. You're very knowledgeable. You're achieving more income than most coaches that I know from training one-to-one coaching clients. And you've got some of the best results in the country, without a doubt, from a pure gym.
Thanks very much.
And from that perspective, that tells you something incredible that you do every single day. And we've been privileged today to listen to your thought process and what you deem as an essential component of professional coaching that leads you to being somebody that gets referrals all the time. Your reputation's where it is, and you get consistent results. So, you can do it. And just on that, to any personal trainer that thinks health building a reputation in a health club, Lucas, is hard, what's your closing thoughts?
I think if you are in the position where you're already listening to this podcast, you are already path to winning. Just need to recognize that you can be the outlier in your gym. All it takes is for you to build a reputation. It takes one transformation that you nail, and then you have to build upon that. It's very, very possible. I'm living proof of it, that you will have a queue of clients once people can see what you're capable of doing. People go to the gym because they want to change, so they're already in the right place. You just then need to show them that you can be the guy or the girl that can make them have that change. And once I tell you just need one, it starts with one, but just nail that one and then build and take your time. And when you know, I get impatient still. If you want to sign somebody up for a 12 or a 16-week transformation, you feel like, okay, I've signed them up. I want them to change right now. And of course they want it too. But you've got to take your time, and you've got to put in the hours, and it's the day after day after day after day. And eventually you look back and you think, okay, look, I've got 6 results this year. Now I need to get 8 next year. And over 10 years, you may have a couple of hundred, but it's not going to happen overnight.
I love that. I love that, Lucas. We are we've talked and we've shared, and I hope people have found this valuable. I do want to say something. Guys, please go and look at Lucas's Instagram. Look at his Facebook. Look at the results. Follow him. Lucas, what's your Instagram name?
It's just Lucas Sheehan PT.
And Sheehan.
HAM. Yeah, correct.
Guys, follow Lucas because the results are incredible. His marketing's great, but he does something which most personal trainers in the fitness industry who want to be successful who don't do. He's consistent. He does the basics. His personal standards, professionalism is impeccable, and he does something what a lot of people can't do. Gets referrals week after week after week, and as such, has put prices top end. And is getting as has a full diary all the time, so it is achievable. Lucas has done it for a long time, and is living proof that the whole top tier is subjective. I don't like to say a top tier, but he's reached the highest level in terms of coaching one-on-one clients. And I know you want to keep going and will do, but you've got to watch people that are doing great and still doing what they do if you want to learn how to be better. So Lucas, thanks ever so much for your time today, bud.
Not
It's
at
been
all. Thank you.
great to
Thank you
connect
so
with
much
you,
for having me
and
on.
thank you for sharing your wisdom, experience, and expertise.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed it, and I feel like we should do it again.
We
Maybe
will.
next year, see if I'm still doing it. But thanks so
Put
much,
it in your
Mark.
diary.
It's in.
Thank you, mate.
All right, bud.
Thanks.